Okay, good morning, and a good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamah's daf Mem Beis. The rabbi left off yesterday, Mem Aleph Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud at Tana Rabbanan, third word on the line. Welcome to those on the Zoom, to those listening on YU Torah. This is not Rabbi Leibowitz, although given the subject matter, it doesn't really make it difficult and it doesn't really make a difference who's saying this year, possibly, although he'll explain it better than I will for sure. He's away for the next 3 days, so I'm covering for him. He's back on Erev of the second days, God willing. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored L'Schus Refuah Shleima for Esther Bas Sara, and we wish her a refuah shleima b'toch Shor Chol Yisrael. It's also sponsored by Andrew Arking in commemoration of the 6th yahrzeit of his grandfather, Albert Arking, Avram ben Moshe Arking HaKohen. And we hope the neshama has an aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So yesterday, at the Mishnah that was on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, going on to Amud Beis, we started talking about the concept of Havchana. That was indeed a little bit easier than the topics that we have been discussing previously, and thank God the discussion continues through the balance of today's daf. It continues into tomorrow's daf, but we are going to talk generally about the concept of Havchana, the idea that a woman has to wait 3 months in between the end of one marriage and the beginning of her next marriage. We're going to talk about the reason for that takana, why exactly it was that the Chachamim established that a woman has to wait 3 months, and the various circumstances in which that takana applies. When does the woman have to actually wait 3 months for Havchana? When is there no purpose in her waiting 3 months for Havchana? That's what the majority of today's daf is about. So without further ado, let's dive in. Mem Aleph Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Yevama Shacholtzu Lo'achem B'toch Shlosha. So let's say a woman's husband dies, and then she falls to the brothers, to the husband's brothers, for either Yibum or Chalitza. So we've learned already in the Masechta, at the time that the woman's husband dies, and if there are brothers, the woman has what's called a Zika connection to the other brothers, obviously. That much we know. So let's say, we also learned yesterday in the Mishnah, that generally speaking, between the dissolution of one marriage, whether that dissolution take place through divorce, through gerushin, or misa, as is the case in the Yibum situation, and the beginning of the next marriage, one has to wait 3 months. So says the Gemara, how about if there's a Yevama, and one of the brothers did a chalitza during the three-month period of Havchana. In other words, that instead of waiting 3 months and then doing the chalitza, he just did the chalitza immediately. He did the chalitza a week later, let's say. Says the Gemara, Tzricha l'hamtin shlosha chadashim, la'acha tzricha l'hamtin shlosha chadashim. Nevertheless, she still has to wait, as she still has to wait out the full three-month period before she gets married to somebody else. And the reason is obvious, because we said in the Mishnah that any woman will have to wait for a three-month period of Havchana between the end of one marriage and the beginning of her next marriage. So even though she had a chalitza performed on her in the interim, that doesn't really make a difference. All that does, all the chalitza does, is it terminates the zika that she had with the yavam, or with the yavamim, if there were multiple of them. But it still doesn't solve for the requirement of Havchana. We still have to have a three-month gap between the end of her first marriage and the beginning of her second marriage. Therefore, she's going to have to wait another 3 months. However, la'achar gimel, let's say she falls for yibum or chalitza, and the brother is dragging his feet and he can't figure out what to do, or he's away on a business trip, or whatever the case is, he's not around to have the chalitza done within the 3 months after the death of the original husband. And then after the three-month period, he does the chalitza. So ain srichan lahamtin gimel chadashim. So she doesn't have to wait for 3 months. Why? Because the whole reason that you have to wait 3 months of Havchana is so that we know whether the baby is actually a product of the first marriage or a product of the second marriage. We also know that so long as the woman was awaiting the Yavam's decision as to whether he wanted to do Yibam, whether she was going to have to do Chalitza, she obviously wasn't having Bia with him anyway. So she wasn't having Bia with anybody during that period. So if the husband died, and then 3 months elapsed while the guy's trying to figure out whether he wants to do Yibam or Chalitza, and then he finally does chalitza, there's no purpose in waiting 3 months after the chalitza, because the chalitza was not a marriage. The whole reason for avchana is we want to know whose baby it is. She wasn't having bia with anybody during that intervening 3 month period, and therefore she's going to be able to get married right away after the chalitza, says the Gemara. So havia gimel chadashim shamru on the first line of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So the 3 months that they spoke of, mishas misas habal, it's from the time of the death of the first husband, velo mishas chalitzas hayavam, and not from the time of the actual chalitza. And this is obvious because of what the Gemara just said, right? The Gemara just said that if you do the chalitza within the 3 months, you have to wait out the 3 months, i.e. from the death of the husband. If you did chalitza after the 3 months, then you're good to go immediately. Why? Because the 3 month period is triggered. It starts at the time of the death of the first husband, not at the time of the chalitza. So before we get to the continuation of the Gemara, so Tosfos just says over here that the statement in the Gemara that it's triggered off of the death of the first husband and not off of the chalitza is not a universal rule. So says Tosfos, top Tosfos on the Amud, Zamar Rabbeinu Tam, Davka Chalatz, that's only if there was actually a chalitza done. Shechalitza mukachas shelo ba'aleh. Because the fact that chalitza is done shows, it's a gilui milsa, that there was no relationship between these people. Just like we say that certain halachic actions indicate that there is a certain status that applies. For example, if you do miyun, if somebody does miyun is when the katana refuses the marriage. So if the katana, if somebody does miyun, then you know that she's a katana. Why? Because miyun only works for a katana. If an adult wants to dissolve a marriage, there has to be a get. Miyun only works for a katana. So too, chalitza indicates, says Tosfos, that there was no bia, and therefore there's no purpose in waiting 3 months after chalitza. Aval emesa yavam la'achar gimel. However, what if the yavam was stam hanging around for 3 months trying to decide what to do? He didn't actually do a chalitza, but then the yavam dropped dead as well. So now what happens? Tzricha lahamtin shlosha chadashim. Then she still has to wait 3 months. Why? The Yosor Yavama Krova Labia Mearusa, because the Yavama is closer to Bia, closer to being in a position where he could have Bia with her than an Arusa, Stam an engaged person, the Gazrina Natu Nesua, and therefore if by an Arusa we're gonna be Gozer that you still need 3 months of Avchana, even though you know that they're not having Bia except in Yehuda, as we saw yesterday, because they ignored the Alachas of Yichud. But if by an Arusa we're gonna be Gozer because of an Asua, then Alphagav Damar Lakaiman Beperik Pe Shamai Bepsach and Perik Elud Varam Yevimto buzzes mine, ishtolo buzzes mine, hainu linin ukumiyanafshe ad shloshim, avalinian gzera shamayisa achoso, ikalamemar yavama krovalabiatve. So Tosfos basically says the fact that you only have to wait 3 months from the death of the husband and not from the chalitza, that is only if the yavama, that's only if the yavam actually did a chalitza. If there was no chalitza done and then after 3 months the yavam drops dead, you still have to wait 3 months. Why? Because Tosfos has this concept that a yavama is more karov to bia than an arusa. And I have to imagine it's because of the Zika bond that forms between them. And because the Zika connects them, that's why, says Tosfos, that it's Krova Labia. But forgetting about where the Yavam dies, in a regular case where there's a Chalitza that's done, if the Chalitza is done, then it immediately shows that there was no Bia, and therefore the woman's allowed to go off and get married right away. If there was no Chalitza done within 3 months, if there was a chalitza done immediately, then even though the chalitza was done, you still have to wait 3 months after the death of the first husband because of achana. If, however, the chalitza was done after 3 months, then you could get married immediately, then she could get married immediately, because it's obvious that we know whose baby it is, because there was no bia with the chalutza. And therefore, she's allowed to get married immediately. And that's why the Gemara said that the 3 months of Avchana begins from the time of the death of the husband, not from the time of the Chalitza. So the Gemara asks, Samaishna mi get, but why is it different from the case of the get? The Rav Amar Mishas Nesina, the Rav says that the 3 months of Avchana begin at the time the get was given. Ushmuel Omar Mishas Ksiva. And Shmuel says that you measure the 3 months from the time that the get was written. Now, it happens to be that everybody holds that the couple is usher to have bia after a get is written. So if it's going to be usher to have bia from the time that the get is written, why would there be a man the Amar who says that the 3 months doesn't start until after the get is actually given? Because there's going to be a delay between the time that the get's written and the time that the get is given. If you're not allowed to have bia anyway after the time that the get is written, so why wouldn't you start counting from that time immediately? Why would you wait until the Shas Nesinas I get in order to count the 3 months of Avchana? So says the Gemara, Samar Rava, Kal V'chomer, because it's a Kal V'chomer. Iser Kares Hitarta, Iser Lav Lo Kolshkein. Because there's a Kal V'chomer over here, and the Kal V'chomer is as follows. In other words, if you're going to be matir in Iser Kares, in other words, in the situation of Yibam, we're talking about being matir in Iser Kares, it doesn't actually mean that they're violating Iser Kares, but what it means is you have a relationship that generally is an erva, generally Eshes Achiv is Arayas, but in the case of Yibam, we're going to say it's fine, don't worry about it, because you're allowed to do Yibam and override the general erva of Eshes Achiv. So in Isra Lav, certainly you're allowed to, certainly we're not going to concern ourselves with. And therefore, we follow the time of the Misas Habal and not the time of the Chalitza, because we're already makil generally in the Yibum situation about an Isser Kares, and therefore to let her go marry somebody else, in other words, and to violate the problem of Avchana, that we're not going to be so concerned with. So what's going on? It's a little bit difficult. It's a little like, I find it at least like a little subtle maybe, is the right way to describe this. But what the Gemara is asking is as follows. We had said that the 3 month waiting period begins at the time of the Misas Habal and not at the time of the giving and not at the time of the Chalitza. And the Gemara is asking, wait, but by get, there were also two things that happened. There were two events, right? There's a time of the writing of the get and there's a time of the giving of the get. You're not allowed to have via from the time of the writing of the get. Just like after your husband dies, you're not having via anymore. So why is there a Man D'Amar by get who says that you don't start the 3 months until you give the get? So how come we don't start the 3 months until after the chalitza is done? Why do we start it back from the time when the husband dies? If there's a Man D'Amar who says that you don't start the clock on Avchana until the later date by get, and the Gemara says, well, because once we're makel, what does it mean we're makel? Once we're gonna ignore the problem of achos isha of isha sachiv rather by yibam, we're just gonna say fine, it's fine. Don't worry about the avchana. We're gonna start counting from the time of misa sabal. Okay, says the Gemara Vaiturna, v'shchein shar kol anoshem, and also all these other women who were previously married, they can't enter into Erisin or Nisuin until 3 months after their marriage. Says the Gemara, Sabishlami Yavama Kedamran, I understand why we have to wait the 3 months by a Yavama. In other words, the problem is that generally speaking, again, there is an erva of Eshes Achiv. So you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife. But in the case of Yibam, there's a mitzvah to marry your brother's wife. But the situation of Yibam only presents itself when the brother died without any kids. So, before you are going to let this woman marry her husband's brother, her deceased husband's brother, we want to be really, really certain that the woman doesn't have any children. Because if the woman has children, it's an Isser Kares for the husband's brother to be with her. It's only a mitzvah of Yibam if she doesn't have any children. So I understand why by Yibam it's very important to ascertain whether or not she has any children. Elashar kol anashim amai. But with other women, what is the big deal? In other words, who cares? She was married, now she's divorced, or her husband died. She's marrying somebody else, stop. She's not marrying the husband's brother, no arayas here. What's the big deal whether the baby belongs to the first husband or the baby belongs to the second husband? Tosfos Yeshanim says, what do you mean, what's the big deal? We're going to see later on in the Gemara, and we already saw in the Gemara a couple of days ago, that you're not allowed to marry somebody who's pregnant. It's called Uberes Chavero or Menekes Chavero. They're not allowed to marry somebody who's your friend's wife, in other words, the marriage terminated, but you're not allowed to marry a pregnant woman, let's say. So of course it makes a difference for Avchana, says Tosfos Yeshanim. So Tosfos Yeshanim answers, right, you're not allowed to marry Uberos Chavero if you know that she's pregnant, but there's no Isser to marry every woman because she might be Uberos Chavero or Menekas Chavero, so you don't have to concern yourself that every woman might be pregnant. So in that case, if you don't have to concern yourself for that, says the Gemara, by a regular woman, by a regular relationship, when there's no chashash that you're going to violate an Isser Kares, what's the purpose for Avchana? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Mishum D'Amar Kro, because the Pasuk says, Lios L'cha L'lokim U'lazaracha Acharecha. And it says that I will be your God and your children after you. La havchin bein zaro shel rishon le zaro shel sheni. In order to make a havchana between the zera rishon and the zera sheni, Rashi explains that because the pasuk says liyos l'chal elokim ulozarecha acharecha, that there's only a hashras hashchina kaviyachol on people whose status are vada'in, that we know whose children they are, and not on people whose status are left in doubt, are in the balance, not that people whose status cannot be ascertained. And that's why, from on sort of a spiritual level, if we want these people to have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to make sure that we know exactly whose children they are. So says the Gemara, and then many Rishonim obviously say that this is a smachta, this is not a din d'oraisa, there's no din d'oraisa, that the Shekhinah is only shore on people of ascertained lineage, of determined lineage. But still, the allusion in the pasuk is enough for us to want to apply havchana even to a regular way situation. And therefore, lavka means zara shel rishon lezara shel sheni. Good. So says the Gemara, reflect the Gemara as follows. So masiv rabba, lefichach, therefore, ger v'giyores, a ger or a giyores, a ger and a giyores, tzrich lamtin gimel chadashim. So they have to wait 3 months. So says the Gemara, but hacha maila havchinika. What type of havchana is there? In other words, we're talking about a situation where you have a couple who was married. They were married before they were gerim. Then they go through a gerus process together. And now they're both Yisraelim after the gerus process. Why in the world would they have to do havchana? Havchana is usually to determine, is the child of the first union or the second union? Here, they're married, there's a gerus, they're still married. Why in the world would there have to be a havchana over here? So says the Gemara, no. So achanami ikal lahavchin mein zahar shenizra b'kdusha lezahar shalonizra b'kdusha. Because, true, it's going to be a product of the same union, but we want to know, did the baby have a hora b'kdusha, or did the baby not have a hora b'kdusha? Because that's meaningful from a halachic perspective. We want to know if the baby was conceived before the gerus or after the gerus. Okay, so the first reason for havchana that we had seen was because we need to ascertain everybody's lineage definitively, because the Shekhinah is only shore on people with defined lineage. It's not shore on people with confused lineage where we don't know whose child they are. Rava has a very practical reason. Rav Amar, Zera Shamiyisa es achosa me aviv, v'yavam ish eches achiv me imo, v'yotzi es imo l'shuk, v'yiftar es yivimto l'shuk. So says Rava, there are four different cases here where if you don't know whether your sibling is your whole sibling or your half sibling, then it's going to create a lot of issues. So for example, let's say you have a woman who is married to Reuven. Reuven dies, the woman marries Shimon within 3 months, then the woman has a baby. So the Gemara is going to get into when exactly does she have a baby, but let's leave that to the side for a second. So the woman has a baby. So let's say the woman has a son. And this son, because he's born in Shimon's house, thinks that he's Shimon's son. So he's set up on a shidduch date with Reuven's daughter, and with from the product of the first marriage, and he's gonna think, okay, whatever, I'm her brother through the mother, but not through the father. But really, he's the brother through the father, and he's gonna wind up marrying his paternal sister, and that's going to be a disaster. Or, for example, in cases of Yibam, if, let's say, this child is born in Shimon's house because we didn't have Avchana, and then Shimon dies, we need to know, does Esha Shimon need Yibum or not? Well, does Esha Shimon need Yibum or not? That depends on whether the kid is Shimon's son or if the kid is Reuven's son, and so on and so forth. So all these halachas, so Rava says, it's not an issue with Shechina being Shoreh on people only of defined Yichas. There's a real problem that if you don't know whose child it is, we're playing with fire, because you could find yourself in situations where you're being pogam on an erva, and we won't know how to react in the case of Yibam, because we're not going to know whose kid this is. So says the Gemara, Masav Rav Chanina, but Frek Rav Chanina, Bekulon ani korobem mishum takonas erva, Bekan mishum takonas vlad. So, but Rav Chanina asks that by Havchana, we said that the issue is not so much Takanas Erva, it's Takanas Vlad. It's because we want to know whose child it is. Vimisa, but if Rava's correct, Kulu Misham Takanas Erva. But if Rava's correct, it's all really a problem of Erva. In other words, the reason for the case of Havchana is not so much for the benefit of the Vlad, it's so that we know whether the Vlad is being pogame on other relationships of Ervan, so that we know how to conduct ourselves with the mother when this kid dies, when the husband dies ultimately, whether she's chayiv and yibum or not. Says the Gemara, "Wahai mishum takanas vlad de lo lifkabu erva." No, it means the same thing. In other words, what's the takanas vlad for which purpose we have havchana? It's so that the vlad doesn't later go and isn't pogame be erva. So says the Gemara as follows. So Bishlama Tamtin Bez Chadashim Vitina say lo. I understand again. Now the Gemara is like back to the basics. We said, what's the period of Avchana? The period of Avchana is 3 months. So says the Gemara, I understand why you can't wait only 2 months for Avchana purposes. Vitina say, Dainu Sveika, Ibar Tisha Lakama, Ibar Shiva Labasra. Because let's say you wait 2 months, then the woman gets married to the second husband, and 7 months later the woman has a baby. So the 2 months of Avchana was meaningless. It didn't serve its purpose. Why? Because if the baby is born 7 months after the second marriage, then we're misupak whether the baby is a 7 month baby from the second marriage or a 9 month baby from the first marriage. Elatamten chodesh echad vitinasei. But why don't we wait only 1 month and then have her get married? Vila shiva yolda. And if she has a baby 7 months after the second marriage, hay bar shiva labasra. It's either a 7 month baby for the second marriage, because we know it's not an 8 month baby for the first marriage. Vila tamna yolda hay bar tisha lakamahu. Ah, and if, because again, assumption that the Gemara makes is that you could either have a baby after 7 months or a baby after 9 months. There's no such thing as a baby after 8 months. So therefore, we know that if she had a baby 7 months after the second marriage, it was obviously a 7 month baby. So says the Gemara, well, the problem is that let's say she has a baby 8 months after the second marriage. Because says the Gemara, in other words, implicitly, not every woman has a baby, not every woman conceives a child immediately after she gets married. So if she has the baby 7 months after the second marriage, good. So we know it's her baby. What if she has the baby 8 months because she doesn't get pregnant right away? She gets pregnant only the next time she goes to the mikveh. So then, vila tamna yolda, hay bar tisha lakamahu. Because if she has a baby after 8 months, it could either be a 7 month baby because she didn't get pregnant right away, or it could be a 9 month baby from the first husband. So inami latamne yalda. So ikalamemar debasrahu dilma yeshua yeshua chodesh echad viibar. So says the Gemara exactly. In other words, if you wait only 1 month, we're not going to know whose baby it is, because we're not going to assume, oh, it's got to be the first guy's baby, because if it was the second guy's baby, there wouldn't be no such thing as a baby that's born after 8 months of pregnancy. Says the Gemara, no. Maybe she waited a month before she got pregnant. So if she waits a month and then 8 months after the marriage, there's a baby, you won't know whether the baby is a product of the second marriage or if the baby is a product of the first marriage. Says the Gemara, V'tamten shtei chadashim u'mechza. But why not wait only 2.5 months? Why do you have to wait a full 3? V'tinase, and then let her get married. Dila shiva yolda, if she has a baby after 7 months, hay bar shiva labasrahu. So we know that it belongs to the second husband. Vila shito palga yolda, and if she has a baby after 6.5 months, hay bar tisha lakamahu. Then we know that it's the first guy's baby. Why? But first of all, if she has a baby after 6.5 months, then it's gonna be the first guy's baby. Why? Dibar basrahu barshiso palga lochoi. Why? How do we know that it belongs to the first guy? Because if it belonged to the second husband and the baby was born as a preemie after 6.5 months, that baby is not going to live in the times of the Gemara. So inami l'shisu palga yalda ikal meimar de basru. No, you could say that if it was born after 6.5 months, it was the second guy's baby. Even according to the Mandemar, who says that there is only 9 months babies, and those 9 month babies are not born mid month. Yalda l'zayin, yalda l'mukatan. But the assumption is that if a baby is born after 7 months, then the baby could also be born in the 7 months, meaning in, let's say, after 6.5 months. Shenemer v'yilat tkufos hayamim, because it says tkufos hayamim, miyot tkufos bays, a miyot of tkufa is 3 months, so the miyot of tkufos is bays, tkufos is 6 months, and miyot yamim bays, and the smallest number of days that's still a Lashon Rabim is 2 days, and therefore we see that a woman can give birth after 2 tkufos and 2 days, i.e. after 6 months and 2 days. So in other words, so you can't make an assumption that if the baby is born 6.5 months after the second marriage, that it definitely belongs to the first husband and not the second husband, because even if you want to say that the pregnancy has to be full term, that's only by a 9 month pregnancy. By a 7 month pregnancy, the pregnancy does not have to be full term. So the baby could sometimes be born even after 6.5 months. And that's why you can't wait 2 months, you can't wait 1 month, you can't wait 2.5 months, you gotta wait 3 months. Says the Gemara, I have a better idea. But Tamtin Mashu, just wait a Mashu. Tosfos means, what does it mean, a Mashu? Tosfos says, it means wait 3 days or longer. Why 3 days? Because 3 days is the time that it takes to be koled zera. A person, a woman, could get pregnant up to 3 days after she has bia. So says the Gemara, why don't we wait only 3 days, vitinase, and then let her get married? Again, the whole problem is that we're afraid that we're not going to know whose baby it is, right? So let her get married after 3 days, vitinase, v'chimolu shlosha chadashim. And when she is when she's married 3 months, so livdika. So let's do a bedika. Let's check her out. Let's do an exam, and we'll see if she's pregnant. So in other words, if she's pregnant, then we know that obviously it was the first guy's child. And if she's not pregnant, then we know, okay, we've cleared this doubt. There's no baby here from the first husband. Some Rav Safra aim both kines and nesuos. No, because we don't check nesuos to see if they're married, shalo yizganu al balayim, so that their husbands don't find them repugnant. Says the Gemara of Nivdika Balacha, there's a way to check a woman without submitting to a whole gynecological exam. We could just see the way he walks, the way she walks, rather, because the Rashi explains the Gemara assumes that she walks a different way, she waddles a little bit if she's pregnant, and so we could tell that whether she's pregnant without an actual invasive exam. And Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, Isha Mechafa Atzma Kadesha Yirush Bina Benichsei Bala. No. The woman is going to, she's going to outsmart the system. If we try discerning whether she's pregnant based on how she walks, she's going to make sure that she's walking like if she has to take a breathalyzer test, she's going to make sure she walks in a straight line. So she's going to make sure that she's walking normally and she's not going to waddle at all, indicating that she's pregnant. Why? Because the woman wants, if she knows she's pregnant, the woman will know that she's pregnant, but she wants the son or the child that's born to be Yorish, the second husband. The first husband's already dead. So he's already worthless or divorced, and she's not getting any more settlement money from him. So she's going to want the son to be Yoresh, the second husband. Therefore, she's going to conceal the fact that she's pregnant. So Hecha de Kimle Muberes, so says the Gemara. So, okay, good. So your theory was, so basically we had said, why don't you just wait a couple of days, and then after, let her get married, and then after 3 months, she will take a test, and she'll see whether she's pregnant. Because if the Uber is showing already, then we know it's from the first husband, because the Uber doesn't show until after 3 months. So if there is an obvious pregnancy, it obviously came from the first guy. It's not from the second guy. But says the Gemara, what about the issue, Tanya? So Alama Tanya. So it says, says the Gemara, Hecha de Kimla de Muberes he Tinase. So if we know that she's pregnant for sure we're going to let her get married to the second guy. Alama Tanya, lo yisa adam uberes chavera menekas chavera. We said that you're not allowed to marry a woman who is pregnant, a woman who was made pregnant or who is nursing on account of a child that she had with another man. Vim nasa yotzi v'lo yachzer olamis. And if they do get married nonetheless, they have to get divorced and he can never take his wife back forever. Why so harsh? Shematasa ubrasandal. Because maybe if you're going to have Bia with this woman while she's pregnant, you're going to crush the baby that's in the woman's stomach and that's in the woman's womb, and that's going to be disastrous because you're going to wind up killing babies that way. And therefore, they made a gzera that you're not allowed to marry uberes chavero or menekas chavero. Says the Gemara, what crazy concept are you telling me? You're telling me that you're not allowed to marry a woman who's pregnant, if she was impregnated by another man, because we're afraid that when you have Bia, you're going to crush the Uber. Says the Gemara, Iachi didei nami. So, but if so, so what does that mean? If you are married and your wife is pregnant, then you're not allowed to have Bia with your wife for the entire duration of the pregnancy because we should be afraid that maybe you're going to crush the baby. But that's not the halacha, says the Gemara. So this is crazy. So what do you mean? So says the Gemara, no, because ilaman derer b'moch, ilaman derer min shamayim rachmu, min shamayim rachmu. No, because when you're married, obviously, there are ways to deal with the issue. Either you use contraception, or you don't use contraception, but it says min shamayim rachmu, shomer psalm Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that nothing bad happens. But achanami, ilaman derer b'moch, ilaman derer min shamayim rachmu, min shamayim rachmu. So says the Gemara, also, does it matter whether the woman was impregnated by you or impregnated by somebody else? If she's pregnant and you know she's pregnant and there's a danger, so you'll use contraception or shomer psalm Hashem. What's the problem? Says the Gemara, it's because no, he's going to be careful not to crush the child if it's his own. Iyachi dide nami chasa. So he'll be careful no matter whose baby it is. So the day chayisi lavei, hachanami the chayisi lavei. He's gonna be careful about the baby, no matter whose baby it is. So what's the problem with marrying munekas chavero or uberes chavero? Says the Gemara, the problem is as follows: elastam uberes lemenika kaima. Stam, a woman is pregnant. When she has the baby, she's gonna have to nurse the baby. Dilma iavra, but maybe she'll get pregnant again with a new husband. Ume acher kalva v'katlale, and her milk is going to spoil, and she's not going to be able to provide for her first baby. Iachi didei nami. But if that's the case, then why aren't we afraid with every married couple? If they have a baby, they can't have Bia again so long as she's nursing, because maybe she's going to get pregnant again, and then her milk is going to spoil, and she's not going to be able to nurse her first baby. Because the day mamas misalei bebeitzim v'chalav. So because no, if it's his own kid, he's going to make sure the baby is provided for. The donami mamas misalei bebeitzim v'chalav. But if it's her child from the first marriage, then also they'll provide for the baby. What are you going to be so callous and say, I'm not going to provide for the baby because it wasn't my kid? So lo yav lebal. So the Gemara says, yeah, in a chanami, we're afraid that the husband is not going to provide for the baby because the baby is not his, it belonged to the first husband. So says the Gemara, v'litvinu liyarshim, but then let her go ask the yarshim of the first husband to support this baby who she can't nurse because she is, because her milk is spoiled because she got pregnant. So the woman is going to be afraid to go to Beis Din, and therefore it's going to turn out that she's going to kill her kid. So why can't why can't one marry uberes chavero, menekas chavero? The problem is we're afraid that she's going to get pregnant and then her milk is going to sour. She's not going to be able to wean her. She's not going to be able to nurse her first baby, and then we're afraid it's going to wind up being a situation of sakana for that baby. Good, says the Gemara Navaiter. So we had said in the Mishnah, the Echas Pesulos Vecha Beulos, nobody could get married within 3 months after the termination or the dissolution of their first marriage. So the Mishnah had said, Besulos, Beulos, Arusos, Nesuos, and the Gemara just points out, Hainiu Besulos, Hainiu Arusos, Hainiu Beulos, Hainiu Nesuos. that when we said besulos, that means arusos, people are only engaged, because people are only engaged are not having bia. When we said beulos, that's the same thing as nesuos, because people who are married are able to have bia. Some Rav Yehuda achikamer, achas besulos, fachas beulos, whether besulos or beulos, shenes armalu, o shenes garshu, whether if their first marriage or if their first relationship was dissolved, Bayman Arison, Bayman and Nesuin, whether from Arison or from Nesuin, they're gonna have to wait the three months of Avchana. In other words, the Gemara just explains the Mishnah is not talking about like six different cases. It means that there were really two cases. In other words, a case where you were an Arusa and a case where she was an Asua. Either she was a Ba'ula or she was a Basula. It's the same thing. But what the Gemara is basically saying is the Mishnah means when a relationship is dissolved, you got to wait 3 months before the beginning of the next one. So one day, says the Gemara, V'lozer lo boy lo ol lebei medrasha. So V'lozer didn't come to the base medrash. Ashkel Ravasi. So he found Ravasi. Amarle my Amar Rabbanim bebei medrasha. So what did the rabbi say in the base medrash today? Amarle achi Amar Rav Yochanan halacha k'Rav Yosi. That they said the halacha is like Rav Yosi. And Rav Yosi in the Mishnah said that in Arusa, if you have a woman who's engaged, does not have to wait 3 months for Avchana. Why? Because the whole reason that you have to wait 3 months for Avchana, we saw the reasons in the Mishnah. First reason is so that we know whose lineage. We know the lineage of the child. Second reason is so that the child knows who his father is, and therefore he's not going to be pogim be'erva. But if the woman was an arusa, meaning she wasn't having bia anyway, there's no reason for avchana because we don't have to be afraid of the pure lineage of any child because she wasn't having bia anyway. Says the Gemara, Michlal d'yichidoi poligaleh. So it's mashma that only a yachid argues on Rav Yosi, because if the rabbim argued on Rav Yosi and said that no avchana is required even in the case of an arusa, then we wouldn't paskin like him. Says the Gemara in, va'atanya, harei shahaisa redufa leilech lebesavia. If there was a woman who was always by her father's house, in other words, she just didn't live with her husband, or there was an unhealthy relationship of anger in the marital home, and therefore we knew that they weren't having bia, or her husband was not in his house but in the big house, and therefore was unable to have bia, if the husband was sick, or if she was sick, and therefore again they weren't in a situation where they could have bia, or if the husband died and then she had a miscarriage, meaning that you know she's no longer pregnant, or if she was barren, or she was old, or she was too young to have a baby, or physically unable to have a baby, or if for any other reason that we know that for sure she was not pregnant, Gimel Chadashim Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, even though we know for sure that there's no chance she was pregnant, she still has to wait 3 months for Avchana. And this is the Das Yochid, the Shita of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda, Matur Liyares Filin Asimiyad. Rav Yehuda, and others are Gores. Rav Yosi says that in these situations, she could get married immediately. Why? Because again, the whole reason for Avchana is because we're afraid that maybe she was pregnant from the first husband. Where we know that she definitely was not pregnant from the first husband, there's no need for Avchana. So too by an Arusa, there's no need for Avchana because we know that she was definitely not pregnant. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Chazar bar Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan retracted his ruling and actually ruled in accordance with those who argue on Rav Yosi. And Amar Rav Yosi, if he hader bay, masis de karma hader bay. If he was chazar on his ruling and no longer paskin like Rav Yosi, it was because of what we learned in Kerem B'Yavne. What does that mean? The Tanya Amar Rav Yishmol benosh Rav Yochanan Mabroka, Shemati b'bi chachamim b'Kerem B'Yavne, that I heard from the chachamim in Kerem B'Yavne, Kulon Srichos Lahamtin Shlosha Chadashim, that everybody has to wait for 3 months, whether there was a possibility that the woman was pregnant from the first marriage, or even if there was no possibility that the woman was pregnant from the first marriage. So let's stop here, and then tomorrow we'll continue along with the discussion of whether or not we paskin like Rav Yosi, and whether we require 3 months of avchana, even if there is no prospect that the woman was actually impregnated by her first husband. Hope everybody has a great day, and a gittin moed.